place as they come and speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is life and light to those who receive it. And Father, we ask now for your anointing, your Holy Spirit, for both Kevin and Lewis, that as they bring your word, it'll come to us in the power of your Spirit. And Father, we ask that that anointing would not just be on them, but on all of us to receive that word, where it'll bring light and life into our own lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
So, today's topic, we're starting a new series, which, if I shout louder, you might hear, is about the power of God, no limits to the power of God. When this goes on, you'll hear Lewis, because Lewis, and I'm not sure if that's the right, you want Lewis's clips up there, not mine. So I've asked Lewis to speak for the first 10 minutes. He's going to introduce this whole topic about the power of God. Okay, so it's going to be good. Sit back, enjoy what he's got for you, and then we'll take it from there. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. Okay, so I've practiced this, and so far the fastest we've done it is half an hour. So it's actually Kevin twitching. No, I joke. Definitely within 10 minutes. If not, he's going to throw me off the stage anyway. Okay, so we're looking at no limits, and today's session is the power of God. So there are no limits to God's power. Okay, first slide. So when we look at God's power, we probably think of two things. We've got this and this. So the first one, next slide, we're going to be looking at is this one. This is a representation of God's energy and strength. This is what's referred to when we say God Almighty. I'm just going to throw them on the floor, don't need them. This is like God Almighty. Nothing is more powerful. So let's try and put that in a bit of perspective. Because I say God's all-powerful, you think, yep, that's nice, but what does it actually mean? So let's look at the biggest source of energy in our solar system, which is the sun. There he is, looking very happy and quite fearsome at the same time. So that is the sun. It's 92 million miles away, but we still have to be careful that it doesn't burn us. 92 million miles. So how much energy does this thing have? Let's do something that we can probably relate to a little bit. So, nuclear bomb. How many nuclear bombs do you reckon it will take to power the sun? Have a guess. Think of a number. I guarantee you're going to be nowhere close. Okay, think bigger. No, it's still bigger. Put a few more zeros. Okay, the next slide. That's how many nuclear bombs we need. Now, if you're not a mathematician like myself, I looked at that and went, okay, I don't know what that number is. So, that is 6,126,984,126,984 for 1 second of the sun. That is a lot of power if it takes 6 trillion nuclear bombs to power the sun for 1 second. And you think, okay, that's nuclear bombs, but we have nuclear power stations, they run all year round. We have lots of coal power stations. Okay, surely we can get somewhere close to it. So if you were to take all the power stations on the planet and save up its energy for a whole year, you would get enough energy to power the sun that just hits the Earth's surface for 1 hour. That's how powerful the sun is, that we have to save all our power for a year just to equate to an hour. And you know what? God didn't even flinch when he made the sun. In fact, to go along with the sun, he made 100 billion more to go along with them, which we call stars. And that's just what we've discovered. There are thousands upon thousands of millions more that we haven't found yet. So when he said, let there be light, he had 100 billion stars coming out at once. And he was like, okay, that was easy. Let's try and find something else we can make. 100 billion stars, which would take 6 trillion just to power one of them for 1 second, all year round. Okay, so next slide. Let's talk about the other one, the crown. This one is representations of God's authority. God's ability to act and God's ability to influence. Next slide. Should be Job. Okay, this is what Job says to God after God got on his soapbox and said, Job, stop complaining, and spent two chapters telling him why he shouldn't complain. This is what Job says. I know you can do anything, and no one can stop you. Because Job, by this point, was completely flawed. His arguments against God completely trashed. And he goes, okay, you can do anything. No one can stop you. And that's the kind of authority that nothing else can compare to. Because if you think of anything that you try and do, there's something that could probably stop you. But Job says, actually, you can do anything. I forgot to set my timer. I don't know how long I've been. I'll start it now and go. Okay, so we've got Jeremiah. He says a similar thing. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So not only have we got God's Job saying, God, you can do anything, he's also saying nothing is too hard for you. Now that makes me feel slightly scared that you've got a God that can do anything and nothing is too hard for him. Because Jeremiah was saying this while Israel was under attack. It was being destroyed. Judah had already been taken over by the Babylonians. Not going well. And he says, actually, God, you knew this was going to happen. You predicted and told us, yet we ignored you. And this is acknowledgement of his abilities to fulfill. So let's have a look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, with God, everything is possible. Now this was when the disciples were a bit despaired, and they were looking towards Jesus to say, how do we get into heaven if not even rich people can get there? And he said, with God, everything is possible. So we've got a God who can do anything, nothing is too hard for, and everything is possible. Now that terrifies me, because I've got a God up there that doesn't do what I want him to do. You have a God that doesn't do what you want him to do, because he can do anything, who can stop him? Then we've got a verse from Daniel. This is Nebuchadnezzar, after he had a life transforming, after God had a life transforming effect on him. And he says, his rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people on earth are nothing compared to him. Which stands to reason if we think that he can make 100 billion stars like that and not even flinch. What are we to him? He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? Okay, now I'm really, really scared, because not only can he do anything, he also does as he pleases. And no one can say anything to stop him. But even though he can do anything, you know what? He chooses not to do everything. He allows us to have freedom. He allows us to make choices. And how he manages that, I have no idea. But yet, because he can do anything, he is ultimately in control. And then we've got Isaiah. God says to Isaiah, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God. There is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan to come to will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. So that's the kind of power we're talking about when we talk about God's power and God's authority, is that he can do whatever he wishes, whenever he wants, and nothing can stop him, because nothing is too hard for him. So behind everything that happens in our history always has God's sovereign hand behind it, because he is the power. So how he does all these things is a mystery. How he allows to be in control but yet still allow freedom when they seem opposites, I have no idea. But yet he manages a way of doing it. Okay, that's all I got.
Very good. Thank you. Is good. I tried taping it to my head last time, but it wouldn't stick to my beard. But the problem was they didn't put the tape right the way around. Then it would have stuck. So stand up, turn around, say to somebody, I want to know more about the power of God in me. Go on. That's fine. You can sit down again. You
You've just committed yourself for the next 2 hours. Jan, thank you very much. I really appreciate the fact that Jan just sits there and clicks the slides for me, saves me messing about with him. So, as you already know, we're talking about No Limits to the Power of God. Lewis has explained very well about the awesomeness of God's power. And now I just want to bring it down to God's power in us. So next slide, please. Somebody gives you something, and you want to know what the deal is. So you go down 4th Street, and somebody's giving something away. You want to know why they're giving it away. You get a present, which maybe has a bit of an edge to it. You want to know what the deal is. So at Christmas, I opened my present from my sister, expecting something wonderful, exciting, and found out that I had got a toilet in Kenya. So my first thoughts are, what's the deal? So I got in touch with her and I said, do we get to see this toilet? When Carol next needs the loo, do I book her a plane ticket? And then, of course, Carol having gone there, and me being the head man in my village, and having sent his wife to inspect the toilet, would the head man in that village send his wife to inspect our toilet? And, of course, if it's our outside toilet, you'd probably go back and have a little whip round to buy us something better. But then I wanted to know, would it just be the head man's wife who would come, or would the whole village come? And I need to know this because the co-op shuts at 10 o'clock. And if we need to send out for more supplies, then we need to know, all right? So you get something, and you really want to know what the whole deal is. Next slide, please. God has given us some of his power. We've seen that majestic power that Lewis talked about this morning. He's given some of it to us. And actually, what we need to know is how much, what's it for, what's the deal, all right? What's the expectation? What can we do? Next slide. This little verse is from 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Okay? So, again, we're talking about God's power. And God's power has given us, and as we'll see in a minute, it's within us. It's given us everything we need for a godly life. So, describe to me, please, a godly life. Can I have some answers? What is a godly life? Some one-word answers, or short answers anyway. Sorry? People? Peaceful. Peaceful. Right. Okay, sorry, yes. Anybody else? Relationship with God, close to Jesus. Purity. Trust? Obedience? Sorry? Prayerful? Repentant? Yeah? Good. Love? Showing God's glory. I'm getting warm. Getting warm. Okay, then. Jesus came, he said, I came that you could have life abundantly. All right? And that didn't mean a better car. All right? It actually means something else quite different. So I just want to suggest to you that a godly life is more than those things that you've just suggested. Put the next slide up. I would suggest to you that a godly life is a life where you live and act as God would act if he was living on this earth. All right? So who's our role model? Thank you. Okay? Very good. Got there in one. So if we live like he lived on the earth, then that would be a godly life. All right? So that is a bit beyond a lot of the things that you mentioned, which are good and part of our Christian life, but it's beyond. All right? It's a step more. What I want you to see this morning, I just want to... hopefully, open your eyes to see that there is far, far more than we have had and experienced, all right? His abundant life that he came to give us was not what we've got in this room now. Sat here in nice chairs, nice carpet, heating on,
That's it. Great. We'll go home for another week recharged. That's not what it is. It is far, far more. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. Next slide, please. These are some things that Jesus said. Right. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I just want you to think about that for a minute. Are you believers? You're not sure. Have we got any believers in here this morning?
Yes.
Right, well, I don't mind if it's full of unbelievers. That'll be fine. I just need to know what we're working with. All right? And I might just say that, you know, there may be some in here who actually don't really know Jesus personally. And we'll come to that in a minute. That's not a problem, that's an opportunity. So, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. What did he do? Sorry? Healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, all that kind of stuff. Sorry? Yes? Yes? You're about two slides ahead there, Jackie. No, you're fine. So all those things that he did, we could do. And then he goes on to say, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that's in that context, all right? As we set out to do the things that he did, he will do whatever we ask in his name, all right? So that we might be glorified. Nope. So the Father might be glorified in the Son. And I just want you to see that there are no limits there. There isn't a list of conditions, all right? Because with God, all things are possible. Next slide. So, you might say, I'm not Jesus. I'm just little me. And actually, Mike was brought this word this morning for people who think you're not even little me, you're just worm me, or useless me, or no good me. And actually, that's not the truth. Because if you have accepted Jesus, and if you've given your life to him, actually, you have massive value and potential given to him by the fact that his spirit lives in you. So, that first verse from Acts 1:8 talks about when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. So that power that Lewis is talking about, that God has, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that power comes into your life. Okay? That power is the same as the strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And then in 2 Timothy it says that the Spirit God gives us is one of power, love, and self-discipline. And this is the power that's in all believers. We'll just do the next one. Next slide. And you might just say, well, I don't see that power, but it's there. You need to let it out. Okay? We'll come to that in a minute. Jesus said, as Joe so rightly commented before, to his disciples, he said, when he sent his disciples out, he said, I want you to go, I want you to heal the sick, I want you to raise the dead, I want to cleanse those who have leprosy, and I want you to drive out demons. All right? And off they go. Oh, this is great, you know? Then he sent 72 out, and he says exactly the same thing to them. This is your commission. This is what you're to do. You're to heal the sick. Go and tell them that the kingdom of God has come. And then at the end of Mark's gospel, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons, and there's some other stuff. And then it says, they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. All right? And again, he's not putting limits on. Now, I'm not saying that every time we pray for sick people, they're healed, because there's a fact that the kingdom of God is here, but it also not fully here. It's here, but not yet. And we are. The more we move into it, the more we push into it, the more we will experience. The less we push into it, the less we will experience. So it's like playing darts. You know, if you've never played darts before, your first dart will probably hit the door. All right? But you keep practicing until you can hit the board. And if you're keen, you keep practicing until you can hit doubles and trebles. And perhaps even the bullseye. All right? But it won't come without practice. And we need to push the same way into the things of the kingdom of God. If we don't push, we won't get. All right? Final question on that page. Who are his disciples? Is it just those 12, just those 70, just the few people that might have been around when Mark wrote his gospel? Us? Yeah. All right? So all that applies to us. Okay? And it's not just to one or two. All right? We're not talking about somebody who has a special gift and they're the one and we send them to do the job and we spend our time in here enjoying the comfy seats and the heating. All right? This is to all of us. This is a mandate for all of us. Go ahead to the next slide, please. Just want to say this. Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do. He came to show us what we could do. All right? So if you look at his life and his ministry, he was showing us what we could do. And our problem is we say, oh, yes, but he was God. So he could do all this stuff. All right? And the truth is that is just not true. That's a lie. He came as a man. He emptied himself and came as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? What are we? Men and women. Filled with the Holy Spirit, same place, same proposition, same deal. Okay? Everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry, we can do. Jesus described this as being the Father's business. And we should be in the same business. All right? This is the business. This is what we're about. Everything Jesus did, we get to do. And the truth is that you were made for this. And if you want to know what an abundant life is, this is where you need to be. All right? You were made for this. Now, I've got an iPad. And I can see the stains on it. It's got stains from glasses of juice on it. Yeah, because at night when I go to bed, I take my iPad because I just like to watch some little clips on YouTube. There's some brilliant stuff out there, really good. Or just watch some worship or whatever. So I take my iPad. I'll take a couple of biscuits, not particularly sweet, just biscuits. And a glass of juice, and then I've got to go sort of through the hall, turn the lights off, open doors, shut doors, kick the cat, and all of that, you know? So it's a tray. It makes a wonderful tray. In fact, actually, I think I'd get a job in the restaurant, silver service. And I've never spilled anything off it. Well, there's a few drops on here, but it's worked very well. But if that's all it was, what a waste. Yeah? I mean, this thing has phenomenal power in it, all right? And you won't get that phenomenal power until you open the lid and push the button. And if I use that as a tray, that power never comes out. The problem with us, with Christians and with the church largely, is that we've functioned as a tray instead of an iPad. You with me? We've said, ooh, I can carry glasses very well, you know? Couple of biscuits, so I can do that. Yeah? And we've never allowed ourselves to be opened up and let the power come out. All right? And that's what this is about. Next slide, please. Jesus was moved by duty. Is that right? No? Jesus was moved by what? Compassion. Thank you. And compassion has its roots in love. And that meant that Jesus walked hundreds of miles in rubbish shoes, all right? He didn't have the stuff that we had. didn't have the comforts that we had. He walked hundreds of miles just to fulfill the mission that God gave him. What would you do to fulfill the mission that God's given you? All right? He was moved by compassion, though. That's what drove him to do it. His discomfort was less important than reaching people with the power of the kingdom and the truth of the gospel. Now, the power that Lewis talked about on its own could be a dangerous thing, couldn't it? See, power and love go together, and they need to. Power without love destroys, and if God puts his power in us and we just release that without love, we'll end up destroying people. Love without power, on the other hand, doesn't work. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says very clearly, you know, I can have all the supernatural, powerful gifts, but if I haven't got love, it's a nonsense. It's a waste of time. If we've got love, but none of the power of God, there's a little verse in Thessalonians that talks about having a form of godliness without the power. All right? Which is the other end of the scale. We have the power, and we need the love also. Come to the next slide, Jan. So, Jesus was moved by compassion, as Jackie so rightly remarked, four slides ahead. you've got a gift, Jackie. You have powers. he only did what he saw the Father do. He only moves when the Father said move. All right? So this is part of it, and this is where we need to be. And you know, the love that motivated Jesus, and the times when he just looked at people and his heart went out to them and so on, when he wept, all that love is just the same love that the Father has, because they share it together with the Spirit. And the Father's love is passionate, and it's consuming, and it's for you, and it's relentless, and it's for you, and it's fierce, and it's for you, and it's strong, and it's for you. He won't give up on you. He won't walk away from you. And it's a bit like he's saying, not a drop of Jesus' blood is going to be wasted. Not one even smattering is going to be wasted, because he loves you. He sought you out, didn't he? Yeah? If you know Jesus, then you know that he sought you out. He found you, and you've all got your own individual stories, and they're all different. And for some of you, he had to wait many years to get you because you were stubborn, a bit like me. All right? It took him 30 years to get me, and there's times when I would have given up on me many times before that, but he didn't. He sought me out. And the truth is, he's pursuing his sons and daughters with his great love, and that's not just you. Right? That is the world. And we need to be a part of that. Next slide, please. Right. What I'm going to do, we've got time. Yes. I want to show you a 4-minute clip, if I can. Are you up to that? And this is about the underground church in China.
In places in the world are seeing the explosion of God's power, like the underground church in China has experienced. And in the last 60 years, China's communist government has done its best to wipe Christianity off the map. What you're about to see is some of the rarest footage on the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. Just put the slide back up. How many of you seen that before? Okay, right. If I'm right, it's from the Father of Lights DVD, which you can buy in the bookshop downstairs, or you can borrow. Don't want that up, please, yet. Want my back to the slide. Thank you. Which is this? Here are some. That's the one. Yeah, thank you. So, get your hands on that DVD. There's a whole series of stuff. There's quite a few DVDs in the series, and there's now some TV programs you can buy as well. Just see what God is doing around the world, where people are prepared to say, "Yeah, I believe what Jesus said when He said we could do the same stuff that He does." All right, and I'm prepared to step out and try it. Just the thing that caught me about that was their faces. All right, and this is not a church where people are serving out of duty. And I tell you, I've been in that place in the past, where instead of serving because I just love Jesus so much, and I do, I've been in a place where I serve because it's the right thing to do. I'm here because it's the right thing to do, you know? I keep myself right because it's the right thing to do. I read my Bible because it's the right thing to do, instead of, actually, I do it because I love Jesus. And that's what it's about, all right? This is a church that that goes into the world, that sees people saved, that moves in power, and experiences the joy, which you could see in their worship, and phenomenal growth as well. Let me just have the last slide. So just to conclude, then I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Is that all right? We're called to do what Jesus did. And we have the power to do that in us. And we need His love also. But it's time to be available. And it's time to step out. And the truth is that when we step out, everything is stacked in our favor. Okay? And the truth is, you were born for this. All right? Think back to the iPad. You were made for this. All right? And if you're living with less, then you're just functioning as a tray. We were made for this, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. First one is, I was coming up the motorway from Manchester the other week, and I've developed a little habit now. When I go into motorway services, I ask God for somebody, an encounter with somebody just to... and I decided to stop at T-Bay, which is my probably favorite motorway services ever. And it's just been improved a bit since I was last there. It's beautiful. And I said to God, I'm going to stop at T-Bay, and I just want somebody to talk to, an opportunity. And I went in, and I sat down, and I had a sense about somebody actually who needed healing, and it turned out I was wrong about that. Physical healing, but anyway, I sat and I had a coffee and was just watching people come in, and nobody really caught my attention. There was a lady on the table opposite me, looked like she was writing a journal or something, and that was about it. I got another coffee, and really, because I wasn't going to go, because I knew I'd asked, I was going to stop until I got, you know. Fortunately, I only had to have two. Well, no, I like coffee, so and I had a bit of shortbread this time. And just waited. And then, actually, the lady who sat opposite me, she kind of looked at her phone, and it wasn't like she'd had a call. She just looked at something on her phone, and then she just put her hands like this on her desk, on the table, you know? Put her hand in her head. And I just thought, that's the person. So I'd finished my coffee by then, so I just went across and said, "Are you all right?" And she wasn't all right, really. And I just said, when I came up here, I just felt, I'm coming up from Manchester, and I just felt that God was saying that was somebody to for me to talk to, and I think it's you. And as we talked, it turned out that she starts saying, you know, it was just after Christmas, so it was New Year. It's a difficult time of year, isn't it? And it turned out that what had happened was her husband had decided he didn't want anything to do with her any longer a year ago. So it was like on an anniversary and also Christmas without family and whatever. She'd gone to Bolton that day from Dumfries to look after her aged mother, and all this involved was actually, who had dementia, and all it involved was actually when she got there, she had to put the bin out. And then she was going back home again. She's saying, are you a minister or something? And said, no, I'm a builder from Hayden Bridge. And she kind of crumbled to that because her ex-husband was from Hayden Bridge, apparently, although I don't know who he was. She let me pray with her. She was apologizing for crying. I had to go and get some tissues off the knife and fork table for her. But it was a God moment, all right? Did I lead her to Christ? No, I didn't. But I have to trust Jesus, all right? He got a woman whose husband from Hayden Bridge ditched her to meet a builder from Hayden Bridge who could pray with her in the middle of the country when both traveling opposite directions. He can do whatever else it takes to get her to Christ. Okay? So that's the first thing. Now, if I'd said, well, I'm just going to drive home, or I'm going to go in here and have a coffee without asking God, nothing happens. You know, we need to push into stuff. Can I put the photograph up, please? This is a slightly longer story, but you'll enjoy it. And then we'll finish. But the challenge in this is for us to begin to push into God. Now, Matty recognizes this family because I've taken him to meet them. This lady here, she looks a bit startled by the picture, actually, and she's got a headscarf on because she's just been praying. But you might recognize her because she sells the big issue on 4th Street. All right? So she's called Violeta. She's Romanian. She's a lovely lady. And I got to know her just through on the streets. When I see big issue people, I buy them a cup of coffee if they want one. So I bought her a cup of coffee, and then I got chatting to her. And then one day I said, is there anything you need praying for? Are you poorly or sick or anything? She had a poorly tummy, and she let me pray for her. Things you say, how are you? And she goes, so, which actually means okay. And then I would just sort of keep chatting to her whenever. And through her, actually, I've met one or two other Romanian people in the town as well. Anyway, one day she said, oh, you must come to our house and have coffee and cake and bring your wife. And so I actually took Carol to meet her on the street. And then we one night we went to Benwell. They live in a flat in Benwell. And met the family. This is mum, this is dad, who's called George. This is son, Cyprian. And this is daughter, Mihaila. And her little girl called Dori. And this is Cyprian's wife here called Claudia. Okay, so I met the family. Actually, the first time we went, quite a few other Romanians came in because there's quite a lot around there. And then they were wanting us to pray for them. And on that first night, we prayed for them. We saw quite a few of them healed of things. And I remember one woman, and she couldn't move her arm properly. And we prayed, and it was just like that, you know. And this is, and I have to keep saying, you know, to them, I keep saying, this is not me. All right, this is God. All right. Jesus does this because he loves you. Let me just tell you about, actually, Mihaila at the end, okay? Because we went down on Thursday night, she had a bad back, prayed for her, and it went just like that. And I said, you all right now? And she says, well, actually, I've got earache and a pain down here. And I said, can I pray? And you know, when you pray and something happens like that, you think, well, I'm not sure if I believe that. It's funny, really. Stupid, really. But it went from her face completely, just like that. And I said, do you know why Jesus does this? And she says, no. And I said, because he loves you. And she goes, really? But I need to talk more to her. Anyway, to go back, so I started visiting them fairly often. Had a good time with them. Had some interesting food. They pickle. They don't pickle cabbage. They take cabbage and salt it and soak it in brine. And then you get these lovely meatballs, which are wrapped in salted brine cabbage, which is interesting. Anyway, there we go. Cyprian had epilepsy. He would have little fits, not that often, once a week, and it meant he couldn't work. And then they started getting worse. And then they got so bad, he was taken into hospital. He was in the RVI. He was on a normal ward, but they were bad, and they were coming more and more often. And initially, they thought about putting an implant in here with a wire that goes up into the brain, which sends signals to stop it, and they were going to do that. And then it got worse again, and it got to a place where he couldn't breathe properly, and they put an oxygen tube in his throat, and he was in the high dependency unit, and he was having serious seizures every 10 minutes. And I would go in, I went in often with the family and prayed for him. I took Matty in one night, and we went and prayed for him in the HDU. And funnily enough, afterwards there's a little waiting room, and Matty says to George, he says, "You've got pain in your back," which he had, and Matty prayed for George's back just in the waiting room. And afterwards, George said to me, he said, "Who is that young man? Is he a pastor?" And I said, "No, he's just a young man from the church." And he came with me. And George said, "When he prayed, I felt power in my back." All right? All right? This is Jesus. This is what he does. Anyway, here's Cyprian. He's having these fits. They can't control it with drugs and everything. So they decide to give him a brain operation. So he had a brain operation. You can just see, I mean, I've got some gruesome photographs, but I won't show them. But that's the remains of the scar across the top of his head there, okay? I went to see him the day after the operation. It's just the same. And it was at this point, one of the doctors had said to the family, who can be quite emotional, they said, "You need to pray to God." Because they were really a bit stumped. And I was stumped as well, because we've been and prayed often. And I'd been telling my daughter, Sarah, about this. For those of you who don't know, my daughter lives and works in Kazakhstan. She was, after I told her about the sort of where we were, she was on a bus just traveling across the city in Shymkent, and she was praying about this, and she felt God say to her, "Pray for his head." And in a polite way, she said back to God, "Well, of course we pray for his head. He's had a brain operation, you know. Like, that's obvious, isn't it, you know?" And at that point, God gave her a picture, and she could see me anointing Cyprian with oil and praying for him. And to be honest, I'd never really thought about doing that. And it fleetingly crossed my mind, and I thought, well, I didn't know if it would be a problem taking oil into the high dependency unit or not, because you have to wash your hands and take your coats off and all this. And if like, you then bring a bottle of grubby sunflower oil in, they might raise questions. Anyway, Sarah sent this back to me on WhatsApp, and I thought, all right, okay then. I thought, well, I'll go at the weekend and I'll maybe do that. And this was like a Thursday, and I had four pheasants at home ready to pluck and gut. And that was what I was going to do that evening. I got me plucking and gutting clothes on and went out in the yard to start on these pheasants. And I just felt really uneasy. I felt really uncomfortable. And I just knew I couldn't leave this till the weekend. I needed to do it now. So I put some clean clothes on, you'd be pleased to hear. Came down here, grabbed a little bottle of oil, and went into the RVI. This was about 8:30 at night. And they let me in, and they knew me in there, and I think they'd been told I was a pastor or something. And I just went in, I sat with him, and when he had these seizures, they were like the whole body, and his left hand, he would grip like that so badly that his nails were cutting into there, and he had to keep trimming his nails all the time, and he had a rag to hold, you know, and I would hold his hand when he was like that. It was strong, really, really strong, you know. Anyway, I went in, anointed him with oil, prayed for him, and he had another seizure, just like that, like a minute later. And as before, I felt disappointed a bit, but at the same time, I knew I'd done what I should do, and I couldn't think of anything else to do. So I sat with him a bit longer, and then I went. When I got downstairs, actually, and just went to buy a bottle of Coke, and I just really felt actually quite easy about this, like that something had happened, God had done something, and I just actually was really, really chirpy, and I just messaged Sarah, you know, and I was quite, you know, it was just like joy, I suppose, inside a bit, and I came home a couple of days later, no more seizure, well, just tiny seizure, he had occasionally a little tremble on his hand, that was all, okay? A few days after that, gone completely. They put him in the gym for a few days just to regain some of his muscle strength and so on, and then sent him home. It's just amazing. And in all that, I just want to say, if I hadn't put myself initially talking to that lady on the street and praying for her, then we wouldn't have got to where we are now. And it's just about stepping out and being where God wants you to be. All right. I went to see him the night he came out of hospital, and he was at home. And I was telling the elders this the other night, his left arm is very weak after all the seizures. And I said, show me what you can't do. And they must have showed him this in the hospital. He put both hands on the table. With the right hand, he could do this quite nicely, like play a piano or whatever. Left hand, he couldn't even do that. You know, that was about it. So I said, let me pray for him. And this was just, the photograph was just after. And because the Orthodox background, as soon as you say you're going to pray, all the ladies are rushing for things to put on their heads, you know? So Mihaila turns up next to me with a leather jacket on her head, because I'm wanting her to interpret whilst I pray, because there's a problem sometimes with interpretation. So Violetta's got a scarf on, which is just handy, ready, just in case. So I prayed, and he said he could feel heat in his arm, and then he could do that, which is not full movement, but he could do that. And so I just said, we'll pray again, and we'll just pray that God finishes it. Went with Carol on Thursday night. Just like that. All right? You know? And that's not me, because I haven't got that power. You know? And if you're relying on me to do that, you're flogging a dead horse, because I can't do it. You know? I'm a builder. I can point your chimney, I can fit your kitchen, I can give you a new consumer unit, but I can't make your hand do that, you know, when it needs healing, but God can, all right? Actually, we had a good night on Thursday, so again, we pray for George's back. Be interested to see what happens this time, Matty. Something happened when we prayed for his back, because he'd fallen off a chair. I've got 2 minutes, I'm stopped, right? He'd had such a pain in his back, he'd fallen off the chair in pain and banged his head and ended up back in the RVI. And they were saying, we love this hospital so much, we just had to send somebody else there. Because Chiprian's been in since October. I've been visiting him for 4 months in there, and the family's been in there day and night. You know? When we prayed for his back, it was like his eyes was like saucers, you know? And he could move, and he could do the stuff he couldn't do, and he was just so surprised. And then we prayed for Mihaila, we prayed for his little girl called Andrea, who's about 11, who had leg pain, and I got Carol to pray for her and told her what to pray, and the leg pain went, and I said, do you feel anything? She says, I feel like I'm going to fall over. And I said, that's all right, it's just Jesus. It's just his power touching you. That's all, it's fine. Prayed for the children for a couple of things. And this is, it is just about stepping out, all right? Taking the step, and it's just an encouragement. All right, it's been a bit long this morning. I hope it's been interesting. I just want to encourage you, really, to begin to step out because you've got that power in you. Just ask him for the love and then go. Begin to do stuff. All right? And don't do it in here. Well, you can do it in here, but it's not for here. All right? It's for out there. All right? And you'll see people healed far more easily out there than you ever will in here. All right? Because God just loves to do it because he wants to introduce himself. He wants to say, this is my son, this is what he does, and this is how much he loves you. Okay? And you're holding the calling cards in your hand. Take them. Okay? Don't clap. Just go and do something. All right? Dave.
To use the phrase, we were made for this.